Welcome back to another Edge God In podcast. Thank you for pushing that pause button to join us today at Edge God In Ministries. Our mission here is to champion your human potential in Christ. Let's face it, there are a ton of shiny objects out there that easily capture our attention and twist our hearts, causing us to oftentimes experience confusion, self-doubt, worry, anxiety, fear. Today's topic is entitled, How to Receive God's Blessing and Favor. Believe it or not, there's actually incredible examples from the scripture that lay out three specific steps to open up your ability to receive God's blessing and favor in life. So the learning objective is, when you walk away from today's podcast, is that you are going to learn three essential ingredients that open up the blessings and favor of God. That sounds pretty good, huh? Sign me up. It's a good one today. We're going to be taking a deep dive into a chapter, very popular chapter, but perhaps one that is important to revisit at this time, from Daniel chapter 3. We're also going to take a deeper dive into 1 Chronicles and gain some wisdom into that as well. So without further ado, let's begin in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Sweet Jesus, I just pray that you show up today for us. We just give ourselves over to you for this time. Obviously, the people that are tuning into this, you have something for them. I pray that you would stir their hearts, awaken them to your voice, give them the ability to be quick to hear and respond, and to close the gap between what's happening outside of them and their choice of response to it, so that they would move from your center out into the world rather than being hijacked by all of those shiny objects that cause us to be distracted and confused, which is one of the devil's greatest trickery. Is confusion, as well as not being able to discern good from evil. So we pray for that clarity of focus today, so that we would be attentive and we would focus on those three things that we're going to learn today, Lord. Give us the grace to lean into those things, to be able to apply them to our lives so that we can open our hearts, and expand our ability to receive your blessings and favor. We pray that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, would be used to edify and glorify you and strengthen the hearts of the people gathered to this call today. In your most precious name we pray, amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's jump in here. This is a very powerful topic. Before I jump in, I'd like to just give you a little insight into some resources at edgegodin.com. If you visit us at edgegodin.com, you will notice that there are several tabs. One of the tabs are resources, and you can actually access a one page to help you capture the learnings of today's podcast. I've mentioned this before, but some groups are actually taking these podcasts and using them as Bible study topics, using the one sheet to capture the learnings and to create a community Bible study around them. Feel free to jump in and have fun with that. There's lots of different topics that have to do with what holds us back in life, rather than in learning the methodology and the ways to be able to champion your human potential in Christ and release those things that are holding you back from the excellence that Christ died to make accessible to you and for you. So join us at Edge God In. You can also join our podcast, and then you'll be kept in the loop. You won't have to experience FOMO, fear of missing out. You can do that by simply going to your app on your phone, looking up Edge God In, not out. We're edging God in. So the name of the podcast is Edge God In. You can also join us on our Facebook page, Edge God In. So we're going to start in the book of Daniel today. If you have your Bibles, open them up. You grab a highlighter and come with me on this. The book of Daniel. This is the story of three men who were dedicated to serving God no matter what was going on around them. With many of the podcasts, I will also invite you, before we start the study, to think of one to three things that the Holy Spirit nudges you on as you are listening through today's podcast. Invite the Holy Spirit in. Ask the Holy Spirit, what are my three things, my three takeaways that will help me to draw closer to the lover of my soul, that will help me to be able to experience the blessings and favor of God. Have that clarity of focus for accuracy of response and program your attentiveness. Then, after you've thought about those three things, write those three things down, put them by your bedside, and review them at least two times in 48 hours. Studies continue to show that when you follow this protocol, you learn something, you write it down, you declare the main takeaway, you put it by your bedside, you review it at least two times within 48 hours, that you increase your retainability up to 85 to 90%. And you can continue to review it, to even anchor it even further, asking the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do with this information I'm learning? So it's not just one of those passing podcasts, the PPs in life, where you hear it, you're inspired for the hour, and then bam, it goes in the cache. We want to really heighten your attentiveness as well as your involvement. This is a collaborative podcast. You're learning something to go out and to share the good news, to first draw near and closer to the love of God, because God adores you just as you are. And he loves you enough not to leave you there. So he has something for you today. As you tune into that and consciously make yourself available for the Holy Spirit to make it come alive for you. That's our desire, to champion your human potential in Christ so that what you are learning takes on life. It spills out of you to inspire the people that God has entrusted to your care as well. So we have three people here, three very dedicated men to God in Daniel chapter 2. Who was the king at the time? King Nebuchadnezzar. Say that 10 times. Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar. And he was into gold. Yep, he was into a gold statue that was 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide, which he set up in the plain of Dura, so smack dab in the province of Babylon. He ordered everyone in his kingdom, governors, counselors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the officials of the province to be summoned to the dedication of the statue, which he'd set up. So all of his peeps were responsible for following his lead to bow down to this statue that he had created. Every time that there was a horn that was blown, that they would bow down to the statue. So Herod cried this decree out and said, "Nations and people of every language, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, flute, lyre, harp, psaltery, bagpipe, and other musical instruments, you are ordered to fall down and worship the gold statue which King Nebuchadnezzar has set up." So I'm going to pause. I just read Daniel chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. What is your gold statue? What gold statue are you bowing down to in your life? Is it in the area of power, popularity, passion, position? You know that you're bowing down to a statue when a strong emotion hijacks you, whether it be envy, jealousy, feelings of inadequacy, by the way, not from God. God did not give you a spirit of inadequacy, of timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So he has given you a spirit of power. So what is your gold statue made of? What does it look like? Is it in the physical object? Is it in your mind? Perhaps the gold statue is an image of yourself that you're constantly trying to measure up to. But this image has been created from false beliefs that you accept it as true. And you continually have the same theme, different stage. What is your gold statue today? As you take a moment to reflect on your life, what is hijacking you? What is twisting your heart or distracting you? Taking up your attention, distracting you from what you value most in life? And most importantly, what is distracting you from intimacy with the lover of your soul? Time with God, prayer, communication, giving God the first fruits of your day. We know this to be true in the scriptures, that test me in this, God says. And the only places in the scriptures he says this, I will never be outdone in generosity. You give me the first fruits of your harvest, not only financially, but your time in the morning, throughout the day. You give God the first fruits. You will never be left empty-handed, my brothers and sisters in Christ. God will never be outdone in generosity. What is your gold statue that is an energy leak for you because you feel like you have to have it in order to have worth and value, or you feel like you need to obtain it in order to feel that you're enough, valued, belong? Let's move on. Verse 6, whoever does not fall down and worship shall be instantly cast into a white hot furnace. Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the trumpet, flute, lyre, harp, bagpipe, and all the other musical instruments, the nations and people of every language all fell down and worshiped. They listened to King Nebuchadnezzar. What voice are you listening to? Whose voice are you listening to these days? What voice do you give authority to in your life? That's another practice, to take a blank piece of paper and just journal on that one for 10 minutes. The voices I'm giving power to in my life to define my worth, value, and capability. Just write down those names. And it's amazing when you order them on a scale from 1 to 10 in importance, how many of those people you give more attention to than seeking God, the lover of your soul. He adores you. God loves you just as you are and loves you enough not to leave you there. So who's your King Nebuchadnezzar? What's your gold statue, and who's your King Nebuchadnezzar? What voice are you listening to? There's a lot of voices out there and a lot of people that are getting hijacked because they're getting very, very dedicated to following these voices, so much so that it's robbing their sense of inner peace. And Satan's in the corner. Yay. Victory for me. I have come to kill, steal your peace, and destroy. Kill your sense of worth and value. Steal your attention, and destroy your sense of victory in God. That's a constant battle between flesh and spirit. Cool thing is Jesus already overcame all that you feel has overcome you. So we read on in verse 8. At that point, some of the Chaldeans came and accused the Jews to King Nebuchadnezzar. O king, live forever. O king, you issued a decree that everyone who heard the sound of the trumpet, flute, lyre, harp, bagpipe, and all the other musical instruments should fall down and worship the golden statue. Now, we have a ton of gossipers. And perhaps you participated in gossip. I know I participated in gossip. And it's one of those things that will literally suck you down into a dark hole quicker than poop through goose, as my grandfather would say. It will suck you down so fast, knock you out. When I was in the ring of taekwondo, I'd practice 4 hours a day, 6 days a week. And with literally less than a couple of seconds, in spite of all that practice, I was knocked down to the mat, literally knocked out in the first round. What is knocking you out in life, out of the lane of putting God first? These naysayers or these gossipers are like, hey, so-and-so is doing this. I think they should be punished. Are you participating in that? Are you jumping on board with that? Do not touch, do not taste. These are all destined to perish with use. That type of behavior is destined to perish with use and take down everyone that participates in it. Jumping on board to cut people down. We're seeing a ton of that. God created every human being. God adores every human being. People choose to accept that and receive that, and people choose not to. Your positionality is to make God recognizable. How do you do that? Jesus laid it out really clearly. Love. Love one another. Pray for those who persecute you. Love your enemies. It's radical, I know, and it's not for the weak-kneed, I'll tell you that much, which is why it takes grace by grace by grace in order to live for God rather than for ourselves. So you have these people that are like, hey, check out these three men. They're not following the direction. They're not listening. So they're cutting them down. They're turning them in. They're tattletaling. Remember tattletaling? Have you ever been in your childhood? Have you ever been tattletaled on? Doesn't feel very good. So-and-so did this. One of the empowering things as a parent, I remember learning this from Jim Fay and Foster Klein, is to guide your child back to themselves and give them the ability to experience the consequence of their choices rather than rescuing them. When someone comes to you tattletaling, simply guiding them back to themselves, what do you want to do about it? Or what good can you bring out of this? What would that look like for you? So you have the ability to coach people back to God. Don't forget that. Are you coaching people back to God by your words, your thoughts, your deeds, your actions? Because you're his ambassador. I'm his ambassador. Use your facial expression. Remind your face that God adores you first and foremost, so that other people, that's the biggest billboard people see. Your face, then your intonation, and then your body language. And only 7% of the words you use is part of effective strategic communication. The other part of communication is about 38% intonation, about 54% body language. Words you use is about 7%. So you've got your face, body, intonation, then your words. Are you using all that beautiful package of you, to make God recognizable? Ask the Holy Spirit to help you with that one. These people that told on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or my kids, when they were younger, they listened to Veggie Tales, and they had a Veggie Tale, which is a young kids program about little vegetables that taught Bible stories, and they were known as Rack, Shack, and Benny. Abednego, by the way, fun fact about Abednego is his name is Ariah, and you'll notice his original name, Ariah, being referred to in chapter 3. So you might be like, well, who the heck is Ariah? Ariah is Abednego. Ariah, his name means helped by God. Isn't that cool? So he was one of the three that was very, very loyal to God in this situation. It was the Babylonians that changed his name, the Chaldeans that changed Ariah's name to Abednego. So here we have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have paid no attention to you. They will not serve your God or worship the golden statue you set up. Does that sound familiar to you in your life? Are you feeling pressure from people saying, you're not doing this? And feeling that pressure from the outside, remember this day who you serve and whose voice you're going to listen to. Know your God who adores you. Read the scriptures and get to know the God who adores you. If you haven't had time to really explore that in your life, perhaps now is the time. I would begin with the Gospel of John and ask the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom, because you want to meet Jesus and know him, because he adores you and will set you free. So in verse 13, Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage. What the heck? Why did he fly into a rage? He flew into a rage because he's edging God out, not in. He has become God. And we see a lot of this around us. I've gone through phases where I was God in my life. And perhaps you have as well. How do you know when you're being God? It's your need for control in order to feel safe. When you feel that you need control over people, circumstances, situations, power over others is weakness disguised as strength. Jesus came in humility. He died in humility, and he was resurrected in power. True power, true authentic power is accessed only, my brothers and sisters in Christ, through the archway of humility. Nebuchadnezzar was hijacked. No judgment. Been there myself. Totally been hijacked into thinking that he was all that. So he's ticked. What do you mean these people, Rack, Shack, and Benny, are not following me? What the heck? King Nebuchadnezzar questioned them. Is that true? Is that true? Is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, are they not listening to me? They're not worshiping the golden statue that I set up for them? Be ready now to fall down and worship the statue I made. Whenever you hear the sound of the trump, of the flute, the bagpipe, and all the other musical instruments, otherwise you'll instantly be cast into the white hot fire furnace. So what happens when people feel under attack or feel that their bigness is not being honored? You'll see ugly behavior pop in. One of the biggest ugly behaviors is threatening. People will start to threaten. I've threatened. Perhaps you've threatened. When you feel cornered, it's a survival technique. Nebuchadnezzar feels threatened. These people aren't bowing down to the statue I made. So I'm threatened. So I'm going to threaten. I feel threatened. So I'm going to threaten you. I'm going to throw you into that fire unless you bow down. What's the response of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? I'm not playing, King Nebuchadnezzar. I'm not going to play because we serve God. And they even say to King Nebuchadnezzar, there is no need for us to defend ourselves before you in this matter. Remember this. Jesus even speaks of this. In the end times, you will be accused. You will be thrown into prison. You will be falsely accused. Do not worry about what to say. Jesus even said this, and is saying it in the Old Testament as well. It's repeated a theme throughout the scriptures. Don't worry what to say. Ask, and it will be given to you. If our God, whom we serve, can save us from the white hot furnace and from your hands, O King, may he save us. But even if he doesn't, know, O King, that we will not serve your God or worship the golden statue which you set before us. There you have the line drawn in the sand. Choose this day. Are you serving God or are you serving man? You know you're serving man when you have those hot emotions that are driving your behaviors. You know you're serving man when you give more authority to what someone says or doesn't say than you do to God's invitation to not touch or taste, but to remain at peace and trust. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were remaining in peace by trusting. Nebuchadnezzar's face became livid. So again, when someone's identity is attached to a golden statue, metaphorically speaking, if you threaten to not obey or follow their lead, then you're going to see a rage. And he raged against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and ordered. So he's suffering from the spirit of control. And I spoke about this in the last previous podcast, the spirit of control. Is it messing with your mind and twisting your heart? You have the power by the name of Christ to bind, rebuke, and cast out the spirit of control. It is robbing our peace. Because I'm not in control, then I'm afraid. Because I'm not in control, I'm angry. Because I'm not in control, then I need to control you even more, or my circumstances even more. If I'm not in control, I can't sleep at night. If I don't know how things are going to turn out or why things happened as they did, I'm totally anxious. That's how you know that the spirit of control has slithered in the back door of who you are and is messing and twisting your heart. Talk back. Cast out. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, today, I cast out and bind, rebuke the spirit of control in my life. There's only one source of control in my life, and that's God within me. He controls me and my future. Therefore, I could rest peacefully. So Nebuchadnezzar's face was livid with utter rage against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he ordered the furnace to be heated even seven times hotter. See, metaphorically too, this is such a beautiful story because we're seeing it left and right. As Jesus said, in the end times, people will take offense. Paul affirmed that. In the end times, people will take offense. As I've mentioned before, the word offense, the etymology of the word taking offense comes from the word scandalon, S-K-A-D-A-L-O-N, scandalon. and it's the part on the trap that actually snaps down on an unsuspected victim. Satan is having a heyday by causing people to take offense. That walks hand in hand with entitlement. I deserve better. I deserve more. I remember reflecting on this when I was going through advanced cancer, when I lost my hair and my breasts and my eyebrows and eyelashes. And I literally heard so gently and kindly the presence of Christ speak this into my soul. The only thing that you deserve is to know that I will never leave you or forsake you, and that I adore you. And so I pass that on to you today. The only thing that you deserve is to know that God will never leave you or forsake you, and he adores you. And whatever he calls you to, he's faithful, and he'll give you the strength to do it, as was the case in Daniel chapter 3 for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So he ordered the fire to be burned even higher. These are all the little antics that God looks down at mankind, but he knows in the end who really wins. That's why he can give us that profound peace when things don't start to look chaotic around it. It's always peaceful in God because he knows, and he's ultimately in charge. So trusting that, upping that trust factor is definitely a part, and we're going to sum this up in three things, three essential ingredients for you to know that will literally open up your ability to receive God's blessings and favor in life. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are showcasing what some of those look like here. They're trusting in God. And so outside this, over the circumstance, they're bound, they're cast into the white hot furnace with their coats, hats, shoes, and other garments. So they're tossed into the fire just as they are. Have you been tossed into the fire just as you are? Do you feel that you have been tossed into the fire in your life? What specifically in your life is your furnace right now that you feel you've been tossed into? Name it, quarantine it. Get it out in front of Christ, and then be bold in your prayers of asking for the favor and blessing of God right in the heat of the storm. For the king order was urgent, so huge a fire that was kindled in the furnace that the flames devoured the men who threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in it. So the guys that threw them into the fire, they were burnt. But these three fell bound into the midst of the white hot furnace. They walked around in the flames, singing to God and blessing the Lord. There you go. Shazam. The first thing, or the first essential ingredient to receiving the blessings and favor in God, is to bless the Lord in the midst of your furnace, in the midst of your storm. There was a song I used to sing quite a bit when I was going through advanced cancer. And during that time of heavy treatment, 2 years of chemo, 6 weeks of daily radiation, 14 surgeries because a third degree burns on my chest. I had to graft my back onto my front. Don't know if I'm coming or going most days, is my big joke. And I used to sing out loud, "I will praise you in the storm." A bunch of different renditions of that song out there. If you haven't heard it, I highly recommend you check that one out because the lyrics are beautiful. "I will praise you in the storm. I will lift my eyes, my heart. In spite of where I'm at, basically, I am choosing to praise you in the storm. And I was sure that you would come down by now to save me. And even though you haven't, I'm going to choose to praise you in this storm." So that, my brothers and sisters, is the first ingredient to receiving the blessings of God. It walks hand in hand with trust. God is saying to all of us today, do you trust me? Do you trust me? And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, great story to read, because then it's very interesting because Azariah was his original name, God-given name, and it meant helped by God. And before he was thrown into the furnace in this reading, this is just a little high noticing in chapter 3, he was referred to as Abednego, right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, until verse 24, where it says, "In the fire, Azariah stood up and prayed." So the fire my brothers and sisters in Christ, removes those things from our lives that are trinkets and shiny objects. Why should it surprise us? Suffering was the very vehicle that birthed salvation into the world. And yet we run from it rather than into the storm. And I can assure you, with every storm, Jesus comes too. And it seemed that in my case, during the 5 years of intense treatment and being told I had 5 years to live with three young children, the darker the night got, the stronger the voice of God became. And the bigger the presence of God became. And I was able to see the things that with my eyes, had I not gone through that, I wouldn't be able to see. And it's the same for you. So keep your eyes wide open. What storm are you walking through today? Or uncomfortable situation? God cares about everything. It doesn't have to be a big honking storm. It could be something that's just really bumping you, and you're just giving a lot of free rent and you're trying to figure it out, right? Toss it into the lap of God. Be authentic with your prayers. Be you. Everyone else is taken. God, I can't figure this out. I don't know why this person's acting this way or why they haven't responded to me. I'm going to turn it over to you. I'm in the fire, and I'm going to trust you. Start singing. Start singing and praising God. That's what Azariah did. So his name is actually restored, his original name, which means helped by God. This is so cool as you read through Daniel. Perhaps that's your one big takeaway. You've read the story many times, but you never realize that the first time that Azariah's name is mentioned is in verse 24 after he's been thrown into the fire. And that is often the case for us. There's pieces of ourselves that get lost along the way that for some reason, and we know why the reason is the way it is, when we go through hardship, those pieces are resurrected. If we're awake and we trust God to help us through it. So Azariah goes on to this dissertation that starts at verse 26 and ends at verse 90. Read it. I'm going to just pull out a couple different phrases that are repeated. He says, "Blessed are you and praiseworthy, O Lord, the God of our fathers and glorious Father is your name. For you are just in all you have done." Listen to this. He's praising God, and still his belief in God is not wavered, even though he's tossed into the furnace. All your deeds are faultless. All your ways are right. All your judgments are proper. You have exalted proper judgments in all that you have brought upon us. So he's trusting God. As you read through these verses, I'm not going to go through each one of them. What lands for you? As you read through Daniel chapter 3, verses 26 through 45, break it up. What lands for you? Really lean into that. He is praising God. And he's also asking for what he wants, which is another ingredient for receiving God's blessing and favor. Jesus said, "Ask and you shall be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." For what father gives a snake or a scorpion when a child asks for an egg? And how much more our Father in heaven loves you. God loves you beyond what you could comprehend. So ask, seek, and knock. What do you want today? What do you really want? Not the shiny object, but what do you want in terms of the character inside so that you sleep well? Ask for that. Azariah was asking for that when in verse 35, when he said, "Don't take away your mercy from us." He was also asking it for again when he said, "Those who trust in you cannot be put to shame." He's declaring it. And then he's also asking God, he declares it, and then he asks God, "Do not let us be put to shame, but deal with us in your kindness and great mercy. Deliver us by your wonders." So they're in the fire. This is crazy. They're in the fire, and they're still, their focal prayer is, "Deliver us." Because I remember asking God, because I had 14 surgeries, and I remember asking God about 7 surgeries in, "I'm done. My body's tired. My skin is ripped. It's burnt. I can't do this anymore." And I literally heard, "You can't, but I can. Trust me." And what I learned during those second sets of surgery was that I could still feel safe in Christ, even when things didn't turn out the way I wanted to. wanted them to specifically. And that is a huge gift, because then when things don't turn out, which they do all the time, Earth School is messy. Now I have those files to say, you know what? Hey, I prayed that that surgery wouldn't happen, and it happened. And you carried me through it and taught me something else. I'm not my hair. I'm not my breasts. I'm not anything in the physical plane. I'm your child, and you have a plan for me. So God's always going for the bigger picture. If we truly trust him, then even when we're tossed into that furnace, rather than getting bitter and start to blame God, I'm not trusting in you because of this or that person did this. I really encourage you to resist the urge to blame God for the fall of mankind, because that happens a lot. And it's the fall of mankind, not God. God has given man choices. Man does not always choose the above the line choices, the choices that serve and honor God. Man does not always choose the choices of behavior that are kind and true and good and beautiful. We see it all the time. We see it all around us. That does not chisel away at the character of God. God is good. Drop the mic. God adores you. Drop the mic. God promises to be with you always to the last breath you take on earth. He will never leave you or forsake you. Don't look at the fire. Look at the one who created the fire. He will carry you through it. Deliver us by your wonders and bring glory to your name. Azariah says, let them be shamed and powerless, and their strength broken. Let them know that you alone are the Lord God, the glorious, and the Lord God, glorious over the whole earth. So even in the eye of the storm, it's another thing he's doing. He's praying for his persecutors. I want them to know you, God. Let them know that you're the only one. How is that going to happen? You got to break them. You got to break the ego. That's why Jesus said, if you really want to follow me, you got to let go of that ego. My need to be right, liked, understood, my way or the highway. We got to walk in humility and trust, my friends, because that's what unleashes the blessings and favor of God. We see it again and again. So there's a pause here. And on verse 46, it says, now the king's men who had been thrown in continued to stoke the furnace. The flames rose 49 cubits above the furnace and spread out, burning the Chaldeans nearby. But, huge but, love those buts that just are game changers. Here's a game changer but in verse 49, Daniel chapter 3. But the angel of the Lord went down into the furnace with Azariah and his companions, drove the fiery furnace, the fiery flames out of the furnace, and made the inside of the furnace as though a dew-laden breeze were blowing through it. Imagine that for a moment. In spite of their attempts to make the fire burn and destroy their lives, the angel steps in of God. You have a guardian angel, by the way. Ask for your guardian angel to help and guide you every day. How often do you invite your guardian angel to protect you, to remind you of the things of God, and to remind your mind that you're safe and how much God loves you? That's praying in the storm. The angel of the Lord totally blew out the fire, just like that. You know how easy it is to blow out a candle, right? And it's out. Same thing for God. Easy peasy. No big deal. The fire in no way touched them or caused pain or harm. Then these three in the furnace with one voice sang, glorifying and blessing God. So the first part of this from verse 26 through 45, Azariah is taking the lead, helped by God, declaring the praises of God in the fire. After the fire is burnt out, they continue that dissertation. This dissertation has a pattern to it, though. And this is what I want to bring to your attention here, because this is another ingredient to receive the blessings and favor of God. When you are in the storm, in the confusion, in the not knowing, in the wanting something to happen, but it's not happening, bless the Lord. Starting at verse 52 and it ends at verse 90, it's repeated 39 times. In those verses, 39 times, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego declare this phrase, bless the Lord. They also declare another phrase 18 times. The second phrase that they declare is next to praise the Lord, is exalt him above all forever. Exalt him above all forever. We get distracted. Whatever you give your attention to, whatever you give your attention to in your day, you are giving a moment of your life to. Be very intentional about what you are giving your attention to, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Now is the time to wake up. Jesus is coming back. We don't know when. He does say, be alert and ready. The hour you don't know, but it will come on you like a thief in the night. Be prepared. One way you can be prepared is to start watching what you're giving your attention to. What are you watching on TV? How much time are you spending looking at social media? You are giving your life away to those things. Take it back. The fiery furnace will often wake you up to doing that very, very quickly. Do not touch, do not taste. If I only have 5 years to live, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not doing that. I'm going to fast from this. I'm going to do more of this. I'm going to do less of that. You don't have to wait till you're diagnosed with cancer. Do that now. Wake up and do more of what you know God wants you to do and less of what the world is screaming at you to do. So blessing, blessed are you. Blessed are you, blessed are you, blessed are you. Just read through this, look at the pattern, starting at Daniel chapter 3, verse 52. Blessed are you, blessed are you, blessed are you. I'm just reading the beginning of each one of the verses. And then it goes on to say, bless the Lord, heavens and earth, bless the Lord, praise him in the firmament of the heaven, bless him, sun, moon, stars, heaven, every shower, dew, winds, fire, heat, cold, chill, dew, rain, frost, chill. They're covering everything. Nights and days, light and darkness, lightning and clouds. Let the earth bless the Lord. Praise and exalt him above all forever. Mountains and hills, bless the Lord. Praise and exalt him above all forever. Everything growing from the earth, bless the Lord. Praise and exalt him above all forever. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego just walked out of a burning fire. Can you imagine? They just walked out of the burning fire. And perhaps you can relate to them. Actually, a good coaching question is, who do you relate to in this story? Perhaps it's Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar. Perhaps it's the people telling on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that they're not following the rules, right? Maybe it's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You feel like you've been tossed into the fire. I've been there, my friends. And it says there were four people walking around in that fire. You know who that fourth person was? That was Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who was and is to come. He meets you in the fire. Most profoundly, he meets you in the fire. O Israel, bless the Lord. Priests of the Lord, bless the Lord. Servants of the Lord, bless the Lord. Spirits and souls of the just, bless the Lord. Holy men of humble heart, bless the Lord. So they're just repeating that theme 39 times, bless the Lord. This is significant for us because this gives us the invitation to bless the Lord. So, three things to receive the blessing and favor of God. Bless him in the storm. Faith in action. In order to bless him in the storm, you must trust him. Psalm 28:7, the Lord is my strength, my shield, in him my heart trusts, and I am helped. Psalm 28:7, make the Lord your strength, your shield. Put your trust in him, and you will be helped. To receive the blessing and favor of God, bless him in the storm. All day long, bless the Lord. You can even take this statement and just start saying it over your life. Lord, I bless you today. I bless you. I'm starting today. I bless you before I even start this meeting. I ask for your favor. Praise him and exalt him. That was 18 times in chapter 3 of Daniel, when all three of them were praising him and exalting him. You can read that statement 18 times. What does it mean to exalt? It means to hold in very high respect and regard. That means you give attention to. Remember that whatever you give your attention to, you give a moment of your life to. So take that power back and give your attention to God. Exalt him. Spend time with him. More than any other person or any other activity, you can make your life a prayer, as Mother Teresa said it. You don't have to just have one time to pray. You can just make it a conversation throughout the day. So Azariah, Abednego, Shadrach, all praised him and exalted him. And they were delivered. They had the blessing of God. They received his favor. Third, ask for him to bless you and for his favor. Ask for his favor. Now, I want to just end with a note of a little prayer that a book was written by, a very popular book. In fact, it was on the New York Times best-selling list for a while. It's a little book called The Prayer of Jabez. If you haven't read it, I highly recommend you check it out. But it's basically based on 1 Chronicles 4, 9 through 10. Bruce Wilkinson wrote this book on the prayer of Jabez and basically expanded on it. What does it mean for me? And it showcases how much God desires to bless us and how much he delights in our desire and asking for more of his blessings. This is the actual prayer. It's pretty short. 1 Chronicles 4, 9 through 10. So this is the third ingredient, which is why I'm bringing this in terms of asking for the favor of God, asking for him to bless you, because this is the prayer of Jabez. 1 Chronicles 4, 9 through 10. Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. We talked about in another podcast, Samuel's prayer, when God said, hey, I'll give you anything you want. What do you want? Samuel said, give me wisdom to guide your people. God said, because you didn't ask for riches, honor, long life, I'm not only going to give you wisdom to guide your people like no one's ever seen, but I'm also going to give you all those other things. So we're seeing a pattern of how people ask for things. They're not asking for the shiny objects. They're asking for the things that will make God recognizable through their lives. And what happens when that happens? Freedom and happiness, peace, a sense of joy, even joy over happiness. So the prayer of Jabez, 1 Chronicles 4, 9 through 10, write it out, memorize it. Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me forever, and that you would keep me from evil. It's part of Jesus' prayer, right? The Jesus prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day of our daily bread. Deliver us from evil. It's part of it. Keep us from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. He expanded his territory. God desires to expand your territory. Wilkinson invites us to ask for God's blessing. When we ask for God's blessing, we're not asking for more of what we could get for ourselves. We are crying out for the wonderful goodness that only God has the power to know about or give us. When you ask to be blessed, you're praying for exactly what God desires. Suddenly, the forces of heaven can begin to accomplish God's mighty work, God's perfect will through you. Ask, seek, and knock. That is the third ingredient. So again, let's go over these ingredients. Bless him in the storm. First one, first ingredient to receive God's blessing and favor. Follow Rakshak and Benny's response to the fire. Bless him in the storm. Faith in action. Make him your strength, your shield, and your trust, and you will be helped. You will be helped. Number two, praise him. Exalt him. Sing songs of praise. I remember doing that consciously, even if I didn't feel like it. I would do that, and then all of a sudden my soul was lifted during acute pain, particularly. Exalting God means to hold him in a very high respect. That means you give him your attention. Don't give your life away to other things. Give your life away to God, and he multiplies it. Number three, ask for him to bless you for his favor. So you bless God in the storm, day and night. You praise him and exalt him, meaning you put him first above anything else. Three, you ask him to bless you and for his favor, according to his will. Pray the prayer of Jabez. These are three ingredients that open up the blessings and favor of God. So in the book by Neil Lozano, and I've quoted that quite a bit over the last couple of podcasts, simply because it's a game changer to deliverance. And I'm really taking a deep dive into that study of being unbound and how to help other people be unbound. One of the things that Neil says is that God desires to bless you. And he speaks about this. He says, at every major point in life, when you needed to be blessed, God was there to bless you. Yet perhaps a cloud covered you, and you were unable to receive the blessing. Perhaps it was like the seed on the path in the parable of the sower, Matthew 13:4. God blessed you, but other circumstances came and quickly robbed you. The blessing did not take root in your heart. You don't remember the blessing, only the pain. Good news, my brothers and sisters in Christ. God gives us the opportunity to begin again and to seek that blessing, to be intentional about seeking it, to bless him and praise him and exalt him, put him above everything else in your life, and remind your face how much he adores you. So you bless him in the storm, right where you're at. You praise and exalt him. We're called to praise and exalt him. Give him our attention more than anything else in our day, and then ask him to bless you and for his favor. Dear God, we pray for your favor this day. We ask, we invite you to expand our ability to be able to receive your blessings and favor in our lives right where we're at. We are not perfect. Things get very messy very quickly, particularly when our emotions spill over and impact our behavior and the lives of people around us. So give us the grace to begin again. Give us the grace to begin again. We ask for your favor on the work of our hands and our heart. Bless us in any job we choose to pursue based on prayer and your guidance. Bless our families, the people we love. Grant us favor to seek first the kingdom of God and your presence in our lives over any shiny object. And help us, Father, bless us with the ability to return quicker today than yesterday and our ability to put you first, to bless and exalt you, and to trust in you. You desire to bless us, God. So let it rain. Let it rain. We open wide our hearts and our hands. Bless us that we would continue and expand our ability and our territory to bless the lives of the people entrusted to our care. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So that's a wrap for today. Wow. Whew. That's a powerful study right there. So I encourage you, if you haven't already done so, when we're reading through this Bible study, go to Daniel. Sink in with the Holy Spirit. What is for you? What are your 1 to 3 takeaways for today? What did you take away from today's podcast? Write that down. Keep that by your bedside, and then ask the Holy Spirit to put legs on it. To sum it up, you received, that was the learning objective, you received 3 main ingredients. How to receive God's blessing and favor. Bless him in the storm, praise him and exalt him, and ask for him to bless you and for his favor. You put God first, he'll never be outdone in generosity. I can assure you of that. And the things that you think have crushed you, you begin to lift up like a child's toy. I remember experiencing that when I went through advanced cancer and divorce. You begin to lift those things up you feel that are crushing you like a child's toy when God is your power in life. So enjoy your gift of life and give them heaven out there, because there's enough of the dark side going on. So you be intentional about giving them heaven. I look forward to talking to you again soon, and visit us at edgegodin.com to champion your human potential in Christ. God bless you today.